This is eFactor Radio, created by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. And now here's your host, David Wolf.
Their mission is to help change the world for entrepreneurs as they scale their passion. They do this by offering tactical and practical tools for CEOs to use. The company is Scale Passion, and our guest is its founder and CEO, Robert Craven. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, David. I'm glad to be here today.
How did the model of Scale Passion come about?
It's a great question. You know, I kind of look at it as my calling. I've been helping passionate entrepreneurs in one way or another for many, many years. I've actually helped scale two businesses as a CEO to the entrepreneur, you know, founder. And that was my kind of depth of experience that led me to the knowledge and the realization that most entrepreneurs could really use some help when they get to a certain size. And what I mean by that is all the things that make young companies great to a certain level, you know, sometimes 10, 15, 20 million in sales, and it happens at different levels for different companies, can start to work against them when they try to get to 30, 40, 50, 60 million in sales. You know, all those things that made them so successful can start to really hurt. And that's where the impetus of the book came from. I'm writing a book called Scale Your Passion. Should be out in the fourth quarter. I've been working on that for, you know, almost 2 years now. And then The book really spurred the whole concept of scalepassion.com, which is to bring these tools and resources to the entrepreneur.
When you look at the model, and all of this is germane to all the work you're doing and your coaching and so forth, what are some of the major shifts? How does the ground shift for them as you grow from a 4, 5, 10 employee environment to 100 or more, or pick your number?
Yeah, I think your numbers are about right. I think that when you get to about 100 employees is where you start to really see a shift. Sometimes 50, sometimes 200, just depends. But the entrepreneur typically is the visionary, typically very compelling, tends to attract a lot of friends and family, you know, to come into the business and work for less than market rate because they buy into the vision. And at some point, the entrepreneur can't make every decision. When I became the CEO of about a $15 million company, I could tell you that the entrepreneur was making every single decision down to when to pay the light bill. And that lack of scalability and that real bottleneck on decision-making becomes a real issue. That's one. So you've got to start hiring people that know what they're doing. The other big part of it is strategy. You get to a point where you really have to get strategic, especially around supply chain, you know, customer expectations, making sure that you're not making promises that you can't keep in the marketplace, which happens quite a lot as you scale up and you're not very good at thinking out 12 or 18 or, you know, even 24 months. So laying in some strategy becomes important. Hiring credible people and putting them in positions where they can make decisions with the right kind of boundaries. All of these are major shifts. You know, I could go on and on and on. Technology shifts. There are several major mind shifts that an entrepreneur has to make to be able to really scale the wall, I call it.
Well, I love that. And I'm wondering, too, as you work in this space of helping entrepreneurs, CEOs scale, are there certain industries that you tend to serve more than others? And what are some of the dynamics there, like take a service or technology versus a manufacturing environment? Are there any things that we should know about the differences in those dynamics?
Well, yeah, I mean, every industry has its own quirks. I've tried to boil my concepts down to five truisms. And it's funny. I used to work for a consulting firm that you know, studied business best practices at the global 2000 level. And when you work for a consulting firm, they think a lot about process and methodology. And I'm a big believer that process and methodology is good in that you can learn from it, but it's pretty much thrown out the window now in today's business environment just because of the speed and pace of change.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I've boiled my, you know, key thoughts down to five truisms. And I think that they are truisms that apply to any market size or any type of channel. And those five truisms are quite simply, know that market, and that's number one. These are linear. So really, who is our customer and the competition in the market space, major trends in the market, government regulation, if that applies. So know that market, then know thyself. And that's a real deep analysis of what we're good at, what we're terrible at, what's our passion. And then the key stakeholders. I see a lot of conflict at the top of small businesses where you've got partners that don't agree on the future. Yeah. So know thyself addresses all of that. So know thy market, know thyself, and then know thy mission, know thy purpose, which gets into mission and vision and those kinds of things. And that's intentionally number three. A lot of times in strategic planning, you start with mission. I like to put it number three. I think the other two things really indicate and can help you drive a stronger, deeper mission and sense of vision. So know thy market, know thyself, know thy purpose, and then execute thy purpose. And the last one is establish a rhythm. And when it comes to execution, I believe in the one sheet of paper approach, run the business by one sheet of paper. And most entrepreneurs that I've met are horrible at rhythm, you know, horrible at the right kinds of meetings and the right kinds of strategic retreats and laying in a rhythm that allows them to bring on lots of employees in a high growth environment to where they can feel comfortable and there's a level of communication that gets driven with that. So those are my, you know, five truisms that I really kind of ground everything in, no matter what the channel or what the, you know, what the sector, if you will.
We're visiting with Robert Craven. He's the CEO of Scale Passion, the website www.scalepassion.com. Robert, as you talk about the rhythm, is that a very individualized kind of thing when you work with CEOs, or is there a prescription that's fairly uniform?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, David. I'm actually writing a blog right now. My next weekly challenge, I do a weekly challenge for entrepreneurs, and I'm doing it on this rhythm. And I actually laid out, I think that most entrepreneurs in particular who've never done this before would rather just have a prescription that they can work off of, kind of a version 1.0. So I offer a prescription, you know, weekly meetings, tactical meetings, monthly strategic meetings, and then the every 6 month retreats. And there's certain things, you know, when do you do performance reviews? When do you do salary reviews? Do you do them together? And I like to recommend to CEOs that you just go ahead and schedule the year. And the beautiful thing about scheduling the year is now you've got a deadline that forces you to communicate. It forces you to be ready and to really stick to a rhythm. It's very difficult for a lot of entrepreneurs to stick to a rhythm because they tend to go with their gut quite a lot. And I joke a lot that entrepreneurs, you know, if the entrepreneur's in a bad mood, the whole company's in a bad mood. And you know, if the entrepreneur, you know, the company tends to go the way of the entrepreneur. And that doesn't work so well when you get up over 50 employees and you start scaling into the next level.
Beyond the idea that you schedule the year, are there more granular types of prescriptions, in other words, the elements of the rhythm that you like to recommend?
Well, I mean, establish a rhythm is number five for a reason. You know, the biggest thing that the biggest benefit that you can get from scheduling the year and establishing a rhythm is it gives you a platform as the CEO to lead the company towards the vision, to remind the company what the vision is, constantly and in a consistent way, to remind them about the mission of the company, to remind them about core values that you've already determined, to remind them what the key objectives are. You know, these are the three things we're trying to accomplish in the next 6 months or a year. So this concept of rhythm, more than anything, gives the CEO a platform in a consistent way, not in a haphazard way, to really keep beating the drum that is the strategic plan. And I think by beating that strategic plan drum, execution naturally follows. And that's where, you know, execute thy purpose. The fourth step comes in, where you've got that one sheet of paper where you can point everybody to, and it shows everybody who's responsible for what and how are we doing. It becomes the scorecard, you know, the very living scorecard.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the proverbial sheet of paper. I was going to drill down into that a little bit, Robert. What is on that sheet of paper? What's the dashboard look like for a CEO?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing about the one sheet of paper is getting it down to the one sheet of paper. And just to step back a step before we talk about the one sheet of paper, I really prescribe a 3-year roadmap, you know, to CEOs. And you break that 3-year roadmap, you know, using data. The whole concept of know thy market gives you the data you need to really kind of clarify where you want to be in 3 years. Then you break that 3 years down into 6 6-month chunks. So now you've got 6 6-month phases. And the one sheet of paper is really the next 6 months in front of you. Now, I mentioned the 6 6-month phases, the 3-year roadmap, to say that without that 3-year roadmap, your 6-month one sheet of paper is not going to be very powerful, right? So to answer your question specifically, what's on the page, there's typically 2 to 3 objectives. And an objective, in, you know, is just strategic terms for what do we want to accomplish. A lot of times an objective has to do with revenue. It might have to do with market share, depending on the company. It might have to do with net income or some other measure. You might have one for net income and one for revenue, you know, related to it. But I like to make it more of a prescriptive objective, right? And then underneath that objective, you've got no more than 3. Underneath that objective, for each one, you've got 3 to 6 strategies. Or, you know, said another way, it's how are we going to accomplish the what? So the what might be related to revenue, and you've got 3 to 6 line items that say, okay, now here's how we're going to go do that. Now, beside the objectives and strategies, which is one column, then you've got who's responsible. And then the next column is, okay, what are we shooting? Is it a time frame? Is it a dollar figure? Is it a unit figure? And a lot of times I'll do a target and a stretch. So you've got, you know, what are we going to go do? Who's going to do it? And then the measures you're going to judge that by. And then the last column is, how are we doing? And we like to update our one sheet of paper where we can weekly. And where those measures have to be done monthly, we do it monthly. But the one sheet of paper drives everything. It drives meetings, weekly meetings. It drives monthly strategic meetings. It drives communication to the employees as you're growing. It ensures that everyone is on the same piece of paper, literally.
I love that. The idea of the dashboard, the one sheet, simplifies the complexities of a large organization. When you get into the hiring of the sub-managers, the areas below you that are, these are folks that are reports directly to the CEO, what are some of the insights you have about how to do that well and how to do it effectively and how to hire right and do the right casting for your company?
That's a great, great point. I mean, without the right people on the bus, right? You know, Jim Collins' expression, it's really hard to get anywhere. And that's I can tell you that that's one of the biggest challenges that most entrepreneurs face when scaling the wall. There's a big realization that they have to start delegating and that all the people around them aren't skilled to be able to take the delegation. They don't have the skill set. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have the experience. So at some point you have to put, you know, I was the CEO of two high growth companies, and in both cases, I had to put in a layer of VPs below me that were people that had been there and done that. There were people I could go to and say, give me a plan to do X, you know, to enter a new market, for example. And they could not only give me the plan, but I had ultimate confidence based on their resume and track record that they could deliver the plan. Now, that's very difficult because a lot of times in a small business, we hire people who we know, or we might be hiring relatives even. And the whole concept of going to them and helping them to understand that they're not qualified to take the business to the next level is a difficult conversation, and it's one of the biggest challenges that entrepreneurs face as they scale the wall and start to move into a new area. On the scalepassion.com site, we've written extensively on how to hire. We've recently done a lesson on how to do it, but it's really straightforward. I mean, it's skills, experience, and knowledge. Another great book I'll recommend to your audience is Top Grading by Smart. It's a fantastic tactical and practical book that tells people exactly how to identify the kind of candidate they want and then how to go hire them. And then also it takes the level of keeping them on board and happy and satisfied. Great, great book. I'll just throw it as a recommendation.
Absolutely. Once again, that title, please, if you would.
Top Grading, TOPGRADING. And Smart is the guy who actually taught GE. GE is known for pumping out leaders and hiring great people. And the Top Grading system is what GE uses. And I believe you can apply it. I actually applied it as a CEO of small business, small, medium growth, high growth business as the CEO. And it worked very, very well, very tactical. It's got lots of worksheets. And I mean, it tells you exactly how to do it. It's a fantastic book.
If you're just joining us, Robert Craven joins us now. He's the CEO and founder of ScalePassion.com, the website, one and the same, www.scalepassion.com. Just like it sounds. Robert, you've pointed to the human capital, having the right people on the bus and so forth, so critical to the success of any size organization. But as you're scaling up, what have you learned about raising capital, about the debate between bootstrapping and, of course, when you're an organization of a certain size, now you enter the world of, is it debt, is it equity? How do you like to approach advising CEOs about capitalizing their businesses when that's required?
That's a great question, especially in today's environment. I mean, I honestly believe that the debt space, especially from banks, primarily from banks, is really gone for good. I think that they got a little bit out of their element. So relying on debt where you can, obviously, is a great approach. But relying on growth capital from banks is probably gone for good. I do see private equity moving upstream, if you will, and going and looking at smaller and smaller deals, at least in the spaces that I'm in. Private equity is looking at $10 million companies now versus before, where they wouldn't even touch you if you weren't $40, $50 million in revenue.
Yeah.
So I think the earlier you can, especially if you've got data in that, you know, going back to the truisms, the whole know thy market, if you've got data that says we've got a real market potential here and you're showing good growth, the earlier you can start talking to private equity, the better. I think you want to make friends with these people, you know, even 12 or 18 months before you might even need capital. And entering those markets and becoming friends and understanding how people think, starting to ask questions about those private equity players or venture capital players that are in your space, really getting a sense of the different types of players there are and who specializes in what and what's their reputation is something you should start thinking about as early as possible. Start shaking those hands early. What you don't want to do is start looking for private equity or growth capital when you need it. If you're looking for growth capital when you need it, you've really missed the boat.
Yeah, you need to get out in front of it, as you say. So let's take a tour of ScalePassion.com just in terms of how you offer the curriculum, the advice, the coaching, the programs. Walk us through it, if you would.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, this is really a labor of love for me. I love the energy that a Change the World entrepreneur, you know, brings. I think that most entrepreneurs are Change the World entrepreneurs. They're not necessarily in it for the money. They really want to do something special with a product or a service. And for me, that's an energy that you don't get every day. And I just really drink it in. There are several things. We've got a whole team of experts. I think we're up over 13 experts now, maybe 14, of people that specialize in different areas, whether it be HR or personal energy management or strategy or whatever it might be. We've tried to bring some experts to the table that can provide richer content. And the content is really served up in a variety of different ways. There's lots of free blogs. Most of the blogs have video components. I've got a pretty deep video. I happen to be a very visual learner, so you'll see lots of video on the site that talks very specifically about how to do something. The video, you know, the free content leads to free lessons, and pretty much every week we offer a free lesson. We're ramping up Scale Passion TV. Our goal is every Wednesday at from 2:30 to 5. We're going to present some type of lesson and an interview with someone smart. The content on Scale Passion, there's one criteria and two major criteria. One is it speaks directly to the Change the World entrepreneur or CEO or leader of a Change the World company. The other is that it's practical and tactical. So on the content, with every piece of content on the site, you will see very practical steps, step one, step two, step three, do this. One of the biggest frustrations I have about business books many of them are very platitudinous. It's very much about, here's what we think. I tend more towards here's what you got to go do. And I think most entrepreneurs are in such a hurry that they just want to be told, just do it like this. I mean, we've done it. It's been done 15,000 times. Yeah. You don't have to learn how to do it. Just go do this. And then we have paid lessons and paid courses that we offer. And we're launching a forum, an online forum, where we hope entrepreneurs will go to get very practical and tactical advice from a team of experts and from other entrepreneurs who might have been there before.
The peer-to-peer idea. Great stuff. Yep. Robert Craven. The website, www.scalepassion.com. Scalepassion.com is the company. And we've been visiting with Robert Craven, coach, consultant, many time over CEO of some high-growth companies. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to eFactor Radio. Get more podcasts with your premium membership at eFactor.com.